right, greetings, welcome in, Better's Last Stand, show number, boy, I don't even remember, 92, we're creeping up on 100, we're getting there. As the summer winds down and we get into football, we'll be crossing the triple digit mark at that point. So show number 92, brought to you today by the Brownie House, yes, brownies.com, 20% off your order, promo code PINEROOM at checkout. Going to want to get on those immediately. We had a good week last week, up nearly 20 units, plus 1965 on the week, including some decent golf performances. We were 7-3 as far as our golfers to make the cut. We had two in the top four with Ludwig Aubert and Colin Morikawa, both hovering around the lead with chances to win and possibly playing their way into some good form for the Open Championship coming up this weekend, or started yesterday if you're listening to this on Friday. So we'll see how those players do. We're going to talk plenty of golf on the show today. I'm going to be able to give you a kind of a rundown of what to expect here, at least from my point of view. And you're going to get some opportunities for some good live betting over the weekend. So do not fear. If you didn't get these wagers in on Thursday or Friday morning, you're going to have Saturday and Sunday. Moving day on Saturday, lots of things happen, and they will score very well on this course. So you're going to have plenty of opportunities to see guys with pretty good prices make up some ground on the weekend. But as always, if you want to get out ahead of these things, BLS underscore PRP on X, presented by Elon Musk. Thank him for taking over Twitter, aka X. Now it's just so much better now, because you're not getting censored for having an opinion. So it's nice to have it. Anyway, back to it. We're up about 20 units, just plus 1965. So a pretty good week for us. 7 of 10 guys make the cut. And Aubert and Morikawa both with top four. They both T4'd, so top five finishes, but literally T4. Indy, Sam and I swept the Indy weekend in Iowa. We made fun of it back-to-back days, but who knows? Maybe that's the way to go. So we got two winners over the weekend. Sam had Scott McLaughlin on Saturday night at 8-1, and then I had Will Power 11-1 on Sunday. So we'll take that any day we can get it. Some good returns on IndyCar, which hasn't been very easy. We've had some guys with good race cars that just haven't found their way to the winner's circle. So got that done. Swept the board there in IndyCar last week. NASCAR, we had the top five with Byron. I did anyway. A couple of other tough beats once again in NASCAR. Congrats to Ryan Blaney. I'm a fan of his. So never going to be upset when he wins, but didn't have him, didn't back him. Wimbledon, we were 3-2 on our semifinal picks. I wish I would have given out a couple of the final ones, but I didn't make it in time. CFL, terrible, 0-4. Oh boy, yeah, we were very ugly in the CFL, but that's the way it goes. Two of the games we had no shot in, the other two I think we had pretty decent shots in, just didn't work out for us. The Edmonton Elks fall to 0-5. Oh boy, Edmonton, come on, you got to get it together. Maybe if you change your name back to the Eskimos, you'd probably start to win some games again. AFL, though, I kept saying I got to be due for a breakout week. I've been hovering around 500, just clearing the juice, basically 6-5, 7-5, 7-6, whatever. Week after week after week after week. Well, it took us about 18 weeks. No, actually, we had some decent weeks earlier in the season, but week 18, we did pretty good. We were 10-3 in our AFL bets, so really, really good performance there. We'll take that anytime we can. So let's try to keep hot again this week as we head into round 19 of the AFL. Just five more games left, and then we're into the finals, which is the playoffs for the North American people. Big three started out really well here. We were 4-0 and then fell to 4-2 by the end of things, but a good performance, bounced back in the big three. So CFL was not good, AFL and big three very good, golf solid, NASCAR solid, and IndyCar very good. So we'll take that, like I said, anytime that we can. Soccer, the heartbreaker that I, you know, felt right here on the show last week with the Dutch getting every which way but screwed by England, and would have really, really finished off a really good tickets. We had lots of tickets with the Dutch involved to make the final against Spain. We had the exact final and so many different things. So disappointment there quite a bit. Spain comes through for us, though, and wins the tournament. And then in tennis, no good in tennis. Novak, I didn't expect him to be able to make the run, and then his injury kind of showed when he had to play Alcaraz. He's just not there yet, and Alcaraz is hitting on all cylinders. So Barbara Krejcikova and Carlos Alcaraz, the winners at Wimbledon. Congrats to them. And as I said, Sam, big winner in Scott McLaughlin on Saturday night in IndyCar. So that recaps the week's stats as far as this show goes. And again, Better's Last Stand show number 92. We'll talk now about some baseball. We're on the All-Star break, of course. Paul Skeens was on the hill for the National League last night. Got the start, got out of the first inning pretty well unscathed. He didn't have the strikeouts that everybody was expecting him to have, but that's okay. He did what he needed to do. He was efficient. He had the one walk, but did very good, performed well. Mason Miller maybe was the best pitcher of the night. He was very, very impressive, hitting like 103 or something. It's just unthinkable. Hopefully he'll get moved. Hopefully he gets moved to Baltimore. That's what I'm hoping for. So the A's reliever shined last night. Ohtani with a home run. And Jaron Duran, Red Sox guy. And if you follow the Red Sox at all, which a lot of people do, and most people, I don't know if people know this on this show or not, but I am a Red Sox fan. I'm an Oriole fan, too. I know that sounds very, very weird, but was a Red Sox fan for a lot of my life, was an Oriole fan for a lot of my life, both parts of my childhood. So Atlanta Braves kind of, too, but not really a fan of the Braves, but I don't dislike them. And then, of course, the Pirates. But Red Sox kind of lost me when they got rid of Terry Francona and gutted their team. And their Bobby Valentine and all that stuff that they've had happen. And it was a black mark on the team. And they turned on the people that got them there and won the World Series and broke the curse. And it was disappointing. And not saying I wasn't a fan anymore. I just wasn't the diehard that I once was. And now, you saw what happened to him. They bought a bunch of free agents. It didn't work out. Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Kung Fu Panda. I mean, on and on and on. Just didn't work out for him at all. So they've kind of went back to square one here, and you got to give them credit. They tore it all down. They got Alex Cora back after a suspension, and they built from within. They've groomed all these young pitchers and young prospects. And Jaron Duran, the MVP of the All-Star game last night, was one of those guys. Like, you could see about a year and a half, 2 years ago, like, once this dude puts it together at the plate, he's going to be incredible because his defense and his base running are absolutely top of the line. And once he starts to figure it out at the plate, which you saw signs of it, and now he is. Now he's hitting for power. He's hitting the alleys. He's turning singles into doubles and doubles into triples. This guy's really, really good, and they've got a nice core there. Although Tanner Houck last night in the All-Star game was not good, but jitters, I'm sure, there for first appearance. It's a little tougher for a pitcher than it is a hitter. But Jaron Duran, congrats to him. Red Sox on the right track right now. Will they add anything? I'm going to say no. I'm going to think that they're thinking the Orioles are really good. I'm sure they still think the Yankees are okay, which I don't. Two-man team. But they ought to get shirts printed. New York Yankee logo, two-man team. That's what it is. It's a two-man team. Soto and Judge don't hit. That team is absolute trash. Be a last-place team. They're not good enough. But I digress. Red Sox probably won't go in this year. There's not that many guys available. I think they'll wait and think maybe next year will be their year because they're going to surpass the Yankees. The Yankees are going to lose Soto. They're going to be back to being even worse. They'll be a one-man team. And that's going to be troublesome, and I think Boston can capitalize. Tampa's on the way down right now with the Franco situation. You know, the guy who's centerpiece is going to be in prison, so that's a big problem. Toronto's a disaster, so Red Sox can really they're probably going to be a playoff team. I gave that out last week. I still believe that they will make the playoffs. So I expect it to happen. I just don't know if they'll be all in. But Jaron Duran, great performance by him, big time. Big time clutch appearance by him. So congrats to him. All-Star game was okay. I had the under, of course, but I did have the American League. So that Ohtani home run kind of sunk me in the first three under, first five under, all those kinds of markets. So not terrible, but not great either. I had one another bet though that I'm trying to think. Well, I had a WNBA game that I bet in play with the game to stay under 8.5, and we made it there for that one, 5-3 final. So it made up for it a tad bit there in the in-play wagering. And you can always be checking out your in-play wagering. If you're watching the game, have your little apps up, checking, see what's what, and compare, because the prices are sometimes way off. I mean, I'm seeing 3- and 4-point gaps. AFL, I see it very, very often. There'll be a 4-point difference in the total from one app to the other sometimes. So keep an eye out. In-play is your best friend. It is the most likelihood of success in sports betting without question. And if you just in play a wager and you just pay attention to games and just solely do that, it's hard to do. I don't have the time to do it. I have 25 things to keep track of. It's tough to be able to do it. But in a single game setting like last night, you had a WNBA game on, you had the baseball game. That was really all there was. You know, Europe's in bed. So there really wasn't anything cracking. So you had two things to focus on. And you could take advantage of that if you can pay attention. So in play, always the way to go. I definitely support in play wagering when you're not drinking and when you can actually either listen to the game or follow feeds of, you know, people covering the game. Is actually better than the commentary most of the time. Although the John Smoltz and Joe Davis, they do good job on baseball. Fox is pretty good on the baseball broadcast. They're actually tolerable, which is nice to see. But anyway, we arrived at the Midsummer Classic. We're now on the other side of that. We're going to be back in action on Friday. No games Wednesday or Thursday. So starting up tonight if you're listening on Friday. And we get it back going. So should be interesting. I gave out some plays that I like for the second half of the season last week and put those on Twitter as well. @BLS_PRP. You can check those out. Nothing's changed in my mind. Giants to make the playoffs. Red Sox to make the playoffs. Orioles to win their division. And maybe the Royals to make the playoffs. A couple other ones that I forgot about. But anyway, we'll keep an eye on trade deadlines. The next big thing then. Then we see who's a seller, who's a buyer, who's going to be a fade team down the stretch, who's going to be a team that's going to play their ass off, trying to get momentum going into next year like Washington did last year, and I think Washington will do again. You'll see that with Boston too. Even if they start to fall out of it, they'll still play because they know they're close. Oakland A's, they're probably going to be sellers. They're 7-2 as a favorite this year. I found that stat very interesting. 30-59 as a dog. So the A's have some guys you might want. So Miller, Rooker, those guys might be on the move. We'll see what happens. Top ROI teams, Orioles on top again, 16-11 to the plus there. That's if you bet $100. Every single Oriole game this year, you'd be up $1,611. Cincinnati Reds now moving to second spot, which is interesting, plus 788. Pirates plus 637, Astros plus 607, and the Yankees now down to 587. They were up in the 17s earlier, and they've fallen on hard times. This was an interesting one for your Nerfies and Yerfies. That's yes run in the first inning and no run in the first inning. 26.9% score rate on games. So that's less than one-third of games you're seeing runs in the first inning. So you can find advantages there. They're pricing a little bit out of hand, so you need to compare apps and find your best possible price on these games. And look at this pitching matchup. Some of these guys struggle in the first inning. Corbin Burns last night, I almost bet him to give up a run in the first inning. He didn't end up doing it, but he made it interesting because he's had a lot of trouble in the first innings of games this year. And some guys, it just takes them a while to settle in. So be checking those numbers. There's tons of places on X that you can find data, people that are track this stuff every single day and give you the goods and the bads for the day so you can put together your wagers. But baseball off for a couple days, and then we get back to it and march forward till September, October in the playoff time. Pennant races, you got the trade deadline at the end of the month, so we will reconvene with some more selections once we arrive at that point. All right, let's jump over to tennis and soccer. As I said, Wimbledon, Barbara Krejcikova, Carlos Alcaraz, get the job done there. It was Jasmine Paolini, the young Italian girl. I had her in the final. She faltered a little bit. But, man, this girl's been on a very good run right now. She's up to 7 in the world. She's playing really good tennis right now. Grinder. She was probably beaten in her semifinal match. Came back and won. So, just a good, scrappy player. I don't know how she'll be on the hard court. She did pretty good on the two slower surfaces. So, we'll see how she fares when we head to the U.S. Open, which will be coming up in the fall. Alcaraz, as I said, took down Djokovic. He's just physically superior at the time. Joker just not himself. And not saying he wouldn't have won anyway, Alcaraz, because Alcaraz played about as flawless as he could. He just wouldn't get broken. But Joker battled, man. He battled, got to the tiebreaker in the third when it looked like he was done. He was going to get buried 6-3, I think, and then he kept it alive and pushed on. So, but good tennis there. Wimbledon always good. But, man, the injuries, as we talked about last week, the slipping, the sliding, the humidity, the moisture, it was kind of frustrating. We lost a lot of good future opportunities there. And on the women's side, we had a lot of live action that would have been good because that was wide open. When you have Swiatek, who's just not very good on the – I mean, I'm not going to say she's not very good. She's very good on the grass. She's not as good on grass as she is on clay. And here's the coming up to the point where in the U.S. Open, I'll be fading her heavily because, again, the hard courts is probably her worst. Then you had Sabalenka out. So you had some issues there on the women's side, and which left the thing vulnerable and open in Barbara Krejcikova, who has played incredibly good in majors, but she had been bad for about a year and a half now. 2 years ago, I think she was in the she might have been in the French Open final. But she's a good player. She's very good on the clay and in the grass, but her form had been so poor. So I didn't even think to look at her because her form has been so bad. But there you go. The back class is there. No question about it. So she hits it. I saw her from anywhere between 68 to 80 to 1, depending on where you shopped. So keep shopping around for those tennis. Tennis and golf, you can get great, great future value. And let's go over to soccer. Again, hit on a little bit there. The Dutch, that was a heartbreaker for us. Spain got the job done on their side. England goes out again in disgusting fashion if you're an England fan. I almost felt a teeny bit bad for them, but not really. So England done, and England's got to start playing their younger guys. It's time to change the guard. Cole Palmer has got to be out there all the time. He is just dynamite. And I'm looking forward to his season at Chelsea. EPL will be upon us. We're almost to August now. We're halfway through July, more so than halfway. And EPL will be right around the corner, so won't be long. We'll be talking about Cole Palmer and see if Chelsea can get back into the top four. That's got to be the goal this year, to get into Champions League football. With no European football, it could be pretty lonely, but you can go all in. You can go all in. You're not going to be playing those midweek games, and you're going to have a chance to really, really max out on the weekend. So Chelsea can lighten their roster a little bit this year if they want to, and just concentrate on their very best 11 to 15 players. Obviously, you're going to have injuries, but Cole Palmer is dazzling right now and with a confidence level that's through the roof. So very, very happy to have him, and we'll talk plenty of EPL as we push towards the fall. All right, on to the Open Championship. We're going to be in the Highlands of Scotland over a Royal Troon over the coast. Lynx course, pretty easy. It's going to be gettable. I think Henrik Stenson won this at, I don't even know, 17, 18 under maybe. Like, I should have written that down, but I didn't. Him and Phil Mickelson went at it hard the last time that we were here. And this is a course that guys are going to be able to score on. It's going to come down to the putting greens, and it's going to be a putting contest. So there's really no player that is not in play this week as far as the game that would suit this course. The shortest driver can do damage. You saw Brian Harman last year. He doesn't beat the ball. Zach Johnson's won this event before. So you have guys who don't have to hit it very far to be able to contend here. So that's makes things tricky, because you then add so many players to the pool of players that you're playing from. And I have just a smorgasbord of people here. And if we are able to find one in here, a winner, it'll be a stunner to me, because I don't have a great feeling about this tournament. Scottish Open last week, Robert McIntyre was the winner on Scots soil. He is a Scotsman, so nice to see him exercise the demons after last year's debacle. But it's a tough field. The course is not hard, so that makes it tougher for me, because the scoring is going to be ridiculous. Obviously, everyone in the world is picking Scottie Scheffler to win. I'm a little bit dubious of him this week. He hasn't played in a while, and I'm not saying that he can't just find that form right away, but he's 4-1, and I just can't play 4-1. I think if you're going to do something, maybe some top 10s or some things like that, with him parlaying with another guy or something. I don't like parlays, but if you want to do it that way, I'm okay with it in an event like this. But plus $4, $4.50 range, somewhere in there, 4-1, it's just not good enough for me for him. So I'm not going to recommend playing him. But here's the thing. By the time you're watching this, if he starts out poorly Thursday and Friday and he's 7-8 shots behind heading into Saturday, then he becomes an absolute play for me. So check his prices. You're not going to get a whole lot of good price, even if he is far behind. So that's the thing about this guy. He's just performed like such a machine. He's being priced like a machine. So second choice, Rory McIlroy, 7-1. Can't even begin to think of playing him. I said it before, and I know I looked as if I was going to eat my words at the U.S. Open when he was going to get ready to win that. But he choked, and that's what he does. And he's just not a guy that can handle pressure. There's too many good players now. This isn't 10 years ago when there was four decent players and Tiger was hurt. So his days of winning are over. He'll win a couple tournaments here and there. He'll win the Zurich Classic with his partner Shane Lowry. He'll win some stupid Canadian Open or some other bullshit tournament that no one cares about. But he's not going to win these majors. He's just not going to do it unless other guys implode worse than him. Bryson DeChambeau came and got him and took him out. So 7-1, not even a chance in the world. He'd have to give me about 27-1 before I consider taking Rory McIlroy. Ludwig Auber, we had him last week. Good finish, 12-1, way too low. No chance I'm taking him. Victor Hovland, 25-1. I don't love where his game is right now. Will it surprise me if he contends here? No, but I'm not going to play him. Not going to play Xander at 14, just a little too short. But Xander could easily contend. He hasn't played great in these tournaments. I don't know if the conditions are not the best for him. Good wind players, again, it's really, really important here. If you want guys that can play well in the wind, Bryson DeChambeau has proven that he can play well on any course. He's 12-1. Out of all the short price guys, he would be the most likely. I bet him way, way back before he won the U.S. Open. I got him at like 27-1, so I have a ticket on that. But I would recommend, again, holding off on him until maybe the weekend if he doesn't start out very good and he can make maybe a run on Saturday to move into contention. But out of all the low price guys, he would be the guy that I feel the most comfortable with. His game is very, very sharp, and he is very, very determined, and he will beat the hell out of the ball all over this course. He's going to have numerous eagle opportunities at this course, so keep an eye out for him. Cameron Smith, if I have to make a pick of who I'm going to pick to win the tournament, I'm going with, I had a top four of these guys. DeChambeau, Cameron Smith's going to be my overall top pick if I have to make a pick. He's my top selection. DeChambeau, too. Minwoo Lee, who I had last week, but I think he was just sharpening his game. He didn't play very well, but I like him. 55-1 this week. Cam Smith was 30-1. DeChambeau, 12-1, as I said. You can find better prices at places, I'm sure, or may find worse prices. You just got to hunt around. And then Ash K. Bhatia. I know he's kind of a little bit of a big price, but like this guy's game. Think he could do all right here. And he's 99-1. You can find hundreds. I saw some hundreds out there. So those were the top four guys on my list as far as the very, very top-end contenders in my book. Second-tier guys and guys that I'll be using in some DFS, that I'll be playing in some top 10s. And I'm always going to sprinkle a little bit on these guys to win as well because, you know, these payouts can be good. Patrick Cantlay, 30-1, I like him. Shane Lowry, 33-1. He's a proven player. Links courses, he can play really well. Colin Morikawa, we had him last week. He's a little low for me, 16-1, but he's playing pretty good golf right now, so we'll take a shot with him. Terrell Hatton, getting a lot of press right now. A lot of people liking him. Not sure he has the mental game to be able to finish this out. I'd like to see that, but I don't know. Tony Finau, another guy, getting a lot of play. 33-1, I think he's worth the play. I think he's a great top 10, top 15, top 5 bet. Very solid at this tournament in the past, and he's played very, very well. Adam Scott, great performance last week. He's 55-1. It's a giant price. Think you could find him in some top 20s, some plus money there. So Scott knows how to play. Tremendous wind player. If you got wind here, check the forecast. It looks like it's going to be a little windy tomorrow or Thursday when you're looking at this. It would have been yesterday. Maybe some rain's rolling in on the weekend. So keep an eye out for the wind, especially more so than even the rain. John Rahm, 22-1. He's been injured. He's been out, but he's played well in his LIV tournaments when he has been out there. So 22-1 on John Rahm, that's unthinkable a couple years ago. It was almost as crazy as when Brooks Koepka is like 28-30-1. Not going to recommend Brooks this time. I don't love his putting right now, and he's going to need to putt well to play, you know, under par, like really low under par golf in this tournament. Russell Henley, he's around 100-1. He can do it. He doesn't hit it very far, but his irons are good. He can putt. He could be a repeat of kind of what Harmon did last year, maybe. Zach Johnson, those kinds of players. But Henley's worth a play at 100-1. Then dropping down to the next tier of guys, these ones are a little bit more kind of shot in the dark, but could easily contend or win. Jason Day, 110-1, used to be the number one player in the world. Great win player. Cameron Young, he's played very good in these tournaments in the past. He's 50-1. Not sure his game's super sharp right now, but I think he'll roll in a lot of birdies here and be in the top 15 or 20. Siwoo Kim, always solid. He's a guy I love playing if you're doing like DFS or competitions where you got to have your guys make the cut to be able to qualify for money, you know, for the weekend. Siwoo's a guy to round out your field or your group. That he's very stable. He just under the radar, and he can shoot a low score in a given round, but he'll grind it out. He usually always under par, around par, which is always a good thing. Emiliano Grillo, he interests me a lot, and he is a gigantic price. I'm not sure he could win this tournament, but this guy has a lot of talent. He's 350-1, So taking a little shot with him, even for a top 10 or top 20, it's going to pay very, very well. I love his game here. He's played well in these opens before. He actually was around. He was like a young rookie when the last time that they were at this for the open. So everything to me from the data that I gathered and maintained in years past, Emiliano Grillo is live for a good performance here. So we're going to take a shot with him at 350-1. Dean Burmeister, live guy. Good win player. He played well in the U.S. Open. Like he played well in the PGA. This guy's under the radar. So again, 130, 140-1. Take a shot with him. So those are some longer shot guys that I like. And then guys who I don't know how their form is, but back class tells me they can play this course. Louis Oosthuizen, 80-1. He hasn't played a ton of golf. He's been hurt. He's playing on live now. But a couple years ago, Louis was a prime candidate to contend in every single major. Can he do that again? I'm not sure, but 80-1 is worth a peek. If you like him, you can probably find a better price than there. Sam Horsfield, who's a European Tour player, he can play. I mean, this guy can play. He plays these links courses very, very well. He's had wins on courses that are similar to this. He can play. 179-1 you can find Sam Horsfield. So he is a guy that, again, I don't know his form because I'm not watching the DP World Tour, the European Tour, all the time. I watch it some in the mornings, but I don't get to follow it as intently. So Horsfield's a guy with a play. And then Matteo Manassero. This is a guy who I always play him at the Open Championship. He's just a guy that plays well on these kind of courses. He's good in Europe. He's just always around, and he gets neglected. He's 175-1. So I think Matteo Manassero can contend a little bit. I'm just looking for top 20s. If you get top 20s out of guys that are 180 and 300-1, you're going to have a pretty good weekend. So, again, top plays, Cam Smith, Bryson DeChambeau, Min-Woo Lee, and Ashkay Bhatia. The second-tier guys, Lowry, Morikawa, Hatton, Finau, Scott, Rahm, and Henley. Then your longer shots, Day, Cameron Young, Siwoo Kim, Emiliano Grillo, Dean Burmeister, Matteo Manassero, Louis Oosthuizen, and Sam Horsfield. So hopefully he can control. And I had Sepp Straka, but I'm going to cross him off. I don't like the way his form. He seems like he's hit the wall. He's like he's played too much golf, so we're going to be backing off of him. But those are the plays. They'll be up at BLS_PRP. Don't want to miss those. Enjoy the Open Championship. Beautiful scenery over there in the rolling hills of Scotland. And should be lovely. Can check it out all weekend long, early in the morning. We're going to take a break here. Show number 92 for the Pine Room Studios. It's Better's last day. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about some CFL, Aussie Rules, Big 3, and then finish it up with Sam the Man and the racing part of the show. It's Better's Last Stand, Show 92 from the Pine Room Studios. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Better's Last Stand, Show 92. Matt here with you. Maybe someday the other guys will join the show again. maybe when football season comes, they'll think it's worth their time, I guess. It's tough, but anyway, let's go through some recaps. Bad beats. I had an awful bad beat the other day. I think it was last Thursday, maybe last Thursday. It was a day game, Nationals and Mets. I had the first five under. It was a late afternoon game, literally two outs. I had the first five innings under, 4.5 runs, 0-0 with two outs in the bottom of the fifth. The Mets are the home team. Mackenzie Gore is pitching for the Nationals. He gets the first two outs, then he gives up a double. Then he walks two guys. Then there's a bases-clearing double by, of all people, Brandon Nimmo, who's absolutely awful. And the guys were playing at such a weird angle, it just rolled all the way to the wall. So cleared the bases. Then we got, if I can just choke it off there. Oh, no. They take Gore out of the game. Don't worry. Two more singles the relief pitcher gives up. So it ends up being 5-0 Mets at the end of five. I was very, very disgusted about that one. Moving on to some more gambling news. Every single week we have things like this. Jonte Porter is filed a request. It was denied to play basketball in Greece. He was trying to get the courts to rule that he's not banned from basketball anymore, at least for the time being. I think when his final penalty comes down, he'll never be allowed to play professional basketball anywhere. So Jonte Porter really fucked his life up pretty good there. Rob Manfred is worried about threats from gambling, threats to the players and threats of the players. So he kind of opened up and started to talk about it. But it's funny how Rob never mentions Ohtani and Ipe. He didn't really talk. Marcano, you'd think he was Al Capone. They talk about him like he's the worst guy in the whole world. And then Pat Hoberg, the umpire, nothing's really happened to him. He had a slap on the wrist. So Manfred is talking out both sides of his mouth. He thinks it's a concern because it has been. But the problem is he's not acknowledging that it's hitting the very best players and it's hitting umpires. So that's a problem. And integrity is a question here. And he still can't explain to me how Ohtani just has no, doesn't have to answer any questions. He's completely exonerated before there's even an investigation. It sounds like the freaking media with the mainstream media. They just pick the person that they like and they just make the information fit the narrative they want to show you. And you got to be smarter than that. So there's a smoking gun here. We just got to find it. And then the Pat Hoberg situation, I can't fathom that this hasn't been talked about on TV or anywhere. I can't find it anywhere. VSiN's the only network that's even acknowledged it. It's shameful reporting by for MLB Network, which you're probably not allowed to. They should be talking about this all the time. And ESPN, I didn't see anything. David Purdom or some of the betting story writers on the website probably did, but you don't ever see it on TV. You never even hear it talked about. But this is a problem. You can't have umpires getting suspended for gambling violations and then not tell anybody what they did. Very, very scary. And just watch Operation Flagrant Foul if you want to know any more. So Marcano is the only guy that ever gets slandered about this because he's a nobody journeyman bum who nobody cares if he never plays baseball again. Gambling charges dropped against the Patriots. Kayshon Boutte, the LSU guy. So he got arrested in Baton Rouge, and he was betting his own player totals and things. I don't know how this charge got dropped. I'm very confused about how this possibly could have happened. There was a breakdown of evidence, but there was videos of this dude flipping out on the sidelines and shit about his own stats not getting there and stuff like that. When his team was winning, he was like crying almost. I don't know how they botched this case, but I guess Marsha Clark and Chris Darden were prosecuting it, but a disaster there. I mean, the guy didn't break any NFL rules, so at least yet. So, I mean, I think he should be able to play football, but he probably should be facing some fines. He's basically rigging his own player props in Louisiana, which would probably be a little bit concerning. But anyway, so he's off the hook for the time being. FanDuel, this is incredible. FanDuel mistakenly takes wagers. This has happened a couple of years ago, but it just finally came out that they are liable. April of 2022, they were taking PFL, Professional Fighters League, which is an MMA, a lesser version of like UFC. They were taking wagers on events that happened a week before. They didn't know. It was in their rundown of their markets. They were taking action on it, and they owed $230,000. People, they already had the results. They were betting the winner. They already knew who was winning. Just a disaster for FanDuel. And I'll say this forever. The management of sportsbooks across the country is a serious problem. There's people that don't know what they're doing. You have so many people that do not know what they're doing and aren't aware. And it's like, it is really scary out there. Fortunately, my properties doesn't have to worry about that. But this is a serious problem. They took 34 wagers on PFL fights that were scheduled in their computer system for April 1st when they actually occurred on March 22nd. That's incredible. Company paid out $230,000. They blamed their feed provider, which is the odds providers, which is the lazy man's way of doing odds these days. Everybody gets a feed provider. Silly. You get your feed. They make the odds. It goes into your system without you having to do anything manually. And then the feed provider said, no, you are on the hook for this. We pulled them out on our side. You opened them up on your side. So The courts deemed that, and I think it was New Jersey Gaming who made the ruling on this, deemed that FanDuel was liable. They paid out the $230,000. They honored all the tickets. So that was a bad one. FanDuel's had a few scares. They had another one at the Meadowlands when they were letting somebody bet on that Charger football game. Like they had a inverted price and the guy was just crushing the hell out of it. And I think they ended up paying that one. Skeens moves from 30-1 to 6-1 in NL Cy Young and is an overwhelming favorite for Rookie of the Year in the National League, rightfully so. NFL win totals, you get lopsided action right now on the Rams, Lions, Browns, Eagles, Cardinals, Dolphins, Colts, Texans, and Packers, all getting crushed to the over. Now, a couple of those teams I liked. The Rams, the Lions, I think, is a pretty common one. I'm not worried about that one. The Cardinals, I like them a little bit. But I was against the Colts and the Packers, I think. But it always makes me worry when the public's honor. Election wagering, FanDuel and BetMGM in Canada have taken down the presidential election wagering, which they're smart enough to have. We are not. I've been trying to get West Virginia to be the first state to do it. It would be an incredible moneymaker for the taxpayers of West Virginia and the West Virginia lottery and West Virginia as a whole. But they took it down, obviously, after Trump gets shot at on Saturday night and turned the world upside down. They took it down off the board, I think, assuming that his odds are going to go through the roof to win. And then football previews here on Bettors Last Stand. We'll be having those coming up here beginning, I believe it'll be next week. We'll start doing a college football conference and an AFC and NFC division, give you some of the bets that we like in those as we head towards football season. All right, few minutes left here before we get to Sam. I got some CFL to go through, and Big Three, nothing yet. So check BLS underscore PRP for the Big Three. I didn't have the odds up again, slowing things down a little bit on those. I think they got beat around, but we had a good week last week, so we'll try. CFL, Friday games, we got two of them. We got a 7 and a 9:30. Ottawa Red Blacks -2.5 at home to the Edmonton Elks, total 53. We'll be going with Ottawa -2.5 on the Friday night game. Then you got Winnipeg at Saskatchewan. It'll be Winnipeg -2.5 on the road, total 50. We will go over the 50 in that one. And then Saturday's game, it'll be the Toronto Argonauts at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Hamilton 0-5 on the season. We'll take Toronto on the road -4 points, the total 53, but we're going with the Argos -4. And then the finale, Sunday night, BC Lions at the Calgary Stampeders. 52.5 is the middle. BC 4.5 point favorite on the road, but we'll be concentrating on the total and go with BC, the Lions, over 52.5. Again, you can find all those BLS underscore PRP. On to round 19 AFL. Got a big Friday card. Got four games on Friday and five on Saturday. So let's start it off. Adelaide and Essendon. This is a Friday early one. Probably won't get it here. We'll go under 168.5 in that one. Gold Coast and GWS, 11:45 Friday night. We're going to go over. That's over 168.5. The 9-8 Suns and the 10-7 Giants. West Coast and St. Kilda, also 11:45 p.m. on Friday night. 164.5 is the total here. We would go under the 164.5. West Coast 3-14, St. Kilda 6-11. St. Kilda's won the last three in a series, but I can't lay 27.5. Collingwood and Hawthorne. This is an early morning Saturday one or late night Friday, however you want to look at it. Collingwood at Hawthorne. It'll be Hawthorne -1.5. We're going to take Collingwood +1.5, and we're going to go under 168.5. Collingwood has lost three in a row and need to get themselves stabilized to get into the finals, so they got to win this game. Western and Geelong, 5:30 a.m. on Saturday. Geelong has won three in a row. They've bounced back. They're 11-6. Western beat Carlton last week. We're going to go over 170.5, Geelong and Western on Saturday morning. Also, 5:30 a.m. on Saturday, it'll be Richmond and Port Adelaide. Port -40.5, total 169.5. They lost to Gold Coast last week, a bad loss for Port Adelaide. They bounced back here with Richmond. Richmond was a team we were playing under, but we've been playing overs. They've had some injuries. They're giving up a lot of points. Look for Port to put it on them here. So we'll go over the 169.5, Port and Richmond. Sydney and Brisbane, 11:10 p.m. on Saturday. It'll be Sydney at Brisbane. The game of the week, an incredible game. If you get to watch this on Saturday night, you're going to want to watch it. It'll be on Fox or FS2 or FS1. It'll be Brisbane -0.5 at home, and 176.5 is the total. Sydney, they crushed North Melbourne last week after losing two in a row. Brisbane's won six in a row. The Lions are playing incredible. You're going to hear Country Roads and Charlie Cameron when they're scoring goals. That place will be absolutely electric. I lean Brisbane in the matchup, but I'm just going over the 167 or 176 and a half. Melbourne and Fremantle, 1:20 a.m. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, whenever you look at it. Fremantle minus 15 and a half at home. The total 154 and a half. Fremantle off a loss to Hawthorn last week. I think they'll be ready to go. Melbourne had one, two straight. I don't think it happens here. We'll go with Fremantle minus the 15 and a half. And then the final one, 2:40 a.m. on Sunday morning, Saturday night, however you want to see that one. North Melbourne, the Kangas, 2-15 at the Carlton Blues, 11-6. They're off back-to-back losses to GWS and Western. They're laying 36 and a half at home. We're going to go with the Blues. And again, we're going to go North Melbourne over. These overs are just going through the roof. 184 and a half. They can't make the totals high enough on the Kangaroos game. So we go over and Carlton in that one. And that'll conclude AFL round number 19. We're going to take a break here. Better's last stand. Show number 92, Sam coming up next. Don't forget to get over to yesbrownies.com. Get your brownie box today. They got baker's kits. The guys went down and visited with our friends from the Brownie House. Jeez. You can visit them, yesbrownies.com, the Brownie House. The guys went down and visited with them, brought some of those bake-your-own kits back. So they got all kind of options. Get on there, yesbrownies.com. 20% off your order when you use promo code PINEROOM. We're going to take a break. Be back with Sam to talk racing, Paul Skeens, and anything else that's going on. It's Better's Last Stand, Show 92. Be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Better's Last Stand, Show 92, Pine Room Studios. Matt here with you, joined now by Sam the Man, fresh off a nice performance by his boy Paul Skeens last night in the All-Star game. Before we get to the racing action, let's start with that, Sam. Thoughts on Skeens? Obviously, he didn't strike everybody out like we were hoping, but a good performance. Lots of eyeballs on him, and he didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I thought it was a good showing for our, you know, our two Pittsburgh Pirates. They both contributed. Makes right. us look pretty good. The one thing I'm really starting to get agitated with is how much they're showing Livy Dunn. We just went through this with one football version. Let him live. We know she's at the game. I don't need to see her cheering for him. I know she cheers for him. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
We know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's probably some people would prefer they just kept the camera on.
I know, because they're fucking losers. They're so weird, man. I want to watch Paul Skeens pitch. I don't need to keep seeing his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's probably like just let him be kids. Yeah. Yeah. But
no, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. Not trying to be that guy. I did. I think it, I thought it was awesome. I wish he would have struck out Juan Soto.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Juan Soto is kind of a dick, but yeah, whatever. Good performance. Too bad National League couldn't come through though in the end.
Well, Matt, they don't play for anything anymore. So you know, really, what's it matter, man?
I don't know.
Shame.
What were your thoughts on those uniforms?
They're so ugly. They were just about as bad as the anthem, Matt, for the Derby.
Oh boy. They really, I don't know what they were trying to go for with those uniforms. They look like something out of a comic book or something. I mean, they're like, just the colors are overwhelming. I don't know. I haven't heard anybody say they look neat or like, they even liked them a little bit.
But. They kind of reminded me of the NBA in-season courts.
Yeah, right.
Just like
too much flash. Yeah. Yeah, and then you're right. The poor girl checked into rehab the day after that anthem fiasco.
I would say it was a failure All-Star weekend.
Yeah, I would say so, too. Fortunately, nobody got hurt, and it didn't have a tie again. That's good. The Bud right. Selig method. But, it used to be the only All-Star game worth watching. Now it's getting tougher by the minute. But
like the Pro Bowl.
On we go to the second half of the season, see what happens next. Trade talks heating up for the Buccos, I heard today, with the Angels. So we'll see what happens here. In a week or two, any additional thoughts? Anything changed from last week of your opinion about what they're going to do?
Hit somebody, man. We're getting to the end. We're getting to the end. And you're going to see who the real deal makers are, because it's going to happen. Going to happen.
Yep. People are going to make moves.
I'm so pumped for this half of the season, man. The second half. This is it, Matt. We're 500 ball club right now, man.
Let's just hope in a month or month plus that you're still feeling as good as you are now.
Oh, but Matt, if I'm not, guess what? That's been my whole fucking life. I'm in the same boat I've always been in.
Yeah, you're right there, buddy. That's for sure. All right, let's shift over to car racing. And hey, how about us? We sweep the weekend in IndyCar. Wow, you had the winner on Saturday. I had the winner on Sunday. What the hell's going on? Scott McLaughlin on Saturday night, which I thought we weren't going to be able to see the race until I fortunately found it was on CNBC after Trump got his ear blown off. And then on Sunday, it returns to somewhat normalcy as Will Power, who had a good car the night before, and doubled down on him, and he got the job done over Alex Palou. Scott McLaughlin, again, lots of laps led in that race. He had the most dominant car of the weekend. What were your observations from the Iowa weekend that we made fun of, but it worked out good for us?
It did. It worked out good for us. I still think it's really fucking stupid. I do. But we both won, Matt. We both won. What I also thought was odd is that after the second race, which was an hour or 2 hours earlier start than the second, you know, the first day,
right,
is that they like promote this concert. They show them bringing in the stage, and they're like, "Oh, Post Malone and so and so are going to be performing." Yeah. And it's like, "And we're done. We're not showing you that."
Yeah. Like, so I don't understand why they even had to tell us.
Didn't do us any good.
It wasn't.
I don't care.
Like, well, you should have been in Iowa. You weren't. Mm. McLaughlin obviously ran really well. Yeah, any other strong observations? I mean, it was Friday night or Saturday night's race had a lot of interesting drama in it as far as just like guys pitting at the wrong time, getting caught out. I thought Colton Herta was kind of a bad luck guy in that regard. I thought he had a pretty good car. Any other observations from the two races? I mean, they weren't bad, actually, from what
they weren't bad. I love how strong McLaughlin looked. My biggest takeaway, Matt, was Stingray Rob's crash. Holy shit.
Yeah, now, and Stingray, who crashed in one of the races and then finished, where did he finish? Oh, and he had a season best 15th in the other one.
Yeah, that's what I
how
mean.
How about that?
Yeah.
So Stingray starting to come into form.
I mean, that crash was insane.
Yeah, it was. And the guy, I'll say, he's like a gymnast that you give him a degree of difficulty rating is always pretty good, because the guy can do some crazy things and get his car in very bad positions quite often. And
I tell you what, I'm becoming fantastic. A Stingray Rob fan. I really am, man. This guy, he keeps me on my toes every week.
He does.
Not every week. They only race every, 3 weeks or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Every couple months. Yeah. He's kind of like way back for the long time people that were following NASCAR, Jimmy Spencer. They used to call him Mr. Excitement. That might be what they call Stingray Rob now. You just never know what you're going to get. You're going to get a death defying crash out of him. It's usually pretty eye catching. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think I got a Jimmy Spencer trading card. May I give it to you? It's probably valuable.
Smoking Joe Camel. He had a sharp car there for a while. All right, on we go to Toronto now. We actually have another race this week.
I
know this is stunning. Stunning stuff. Christian Lundgaard won this last year, led 54 laps. Scott McLaughlin, 28 laps led. He was a contender. He finished sixth. I was looking through this, and I thought Colton Herta had a good car last week. So he's going to be my pick. I think my top two guys this week are going to be Colton Herta and Scott Dixon. Where do you come down here on the Toronto race?
I was looking at Dixon as well, but I'm actually going a little outside the box here, and he is still a cheater, but I'm going Joseph Newgarden.
Okay.
I'm going with Joseph Newgarden. I don't ever doubt Penske, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It's just tough to do, and Newgarden is very good. And if you're going to cheat and win me money, I guess that's okay. We'll take that, right?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Sportsbooks don't know. They pay out, so you're getting the money.
Right, yeah.
As long as he doesn't fail the initial inspection, you find out months later, you're good.
Right.
Nothing to see. Who else you like?
I also think Ray Hall can sneak into the top 10.
Okay, yeah, I considered him too. I thought he had run well in the past at this track. So I thought he was worth a little bit of a shot as well. I agree with you. He was right on my board of just missed the cut. Anybody else? What do you think of Stingray? Let's see. Stingray, what did he do in this last year? There he is, 19th. Yeah. But he was running. He didn't crash.
It's good. He finished. You know, I'm thinking, Matt, he'll probably finish right around that 20 to 25. Okay. Somewhere right where he typically is.
You can always kind of predict. He's about as easy to predict the range of, like, the band in which he'll finish, kind of like Lance Stroll in F1.
Right. This crash, he could have seen the light. You know, this could have been what he needed to figure. Yeah. You know, he just has all the answers now.
Well, we'll see. Toronto race. I didn't write down the time of this race. Do you know when it is? It's a Sunday afternoon, I assume. I didn't write it down, but
I can look it up right here.
Because I didn't. So you just never know with these IndyCar races. It is
honestly, and here's the thing: the IndyCar website is such shit. It may not even tell me.
So hard. They got all this stuff on there. The screen's so busy. It's got 50,000 things to look at, but it doesn't have what you need. It
says 1:00.
Okay. 1 p.m. So we got F1 at 9 a.m. and then the IndyCars around 1 and then NASCAR around 2:45. So not a bad day of race car action on Sunday. All right, let's switch over to the F1 boys. They were off last week. When we last discussed F1, we were talking about Mercedes winning back-to-back races as Lewis gets the job done at Silverstone in the British Grand Prix. And we were talking about Max Verstappen for the first time in 44 races. He lost back-to-back races, which is just friggin' incredible. He is the favorite, but only minus 160 now, which seems like an incredible value. And, you know, I think this is going to be another good race here. Max won last year, of course, here in Hungary, and I believe he won the year before that, too.
Yeah,
so he's back-to-back champion here. The Mercedes guys have run well. They ran 2-3 here 2 years ago. And let's see. Last year, Lewis was fourth and George was sixth. The McLarens were sharp last year. Piastri fifth and Lando Norris second. Sergio Perez, yes, that Sergio Perez was actually on the podium, which is something we may never see again. He's a mess. All right, let's get right down to it right now. Which of the two teams, Mercedes or McLaren, are you backing this week? Who do you feel the best about? Or you got a wild card like Ferrari? You feel
no?
Like,
oh, I have Ferrari with two question marks right next to him. Like there's something. You know, my gut is telling me two different things, and I can't take it. It's telling me that Carlos Sainz might win, or both their engines are gonna blow up. You know, because that's Ferrari, man.
No, that's Ferrari. Yeah,
but between those two teams, McLaren or the Mercedes, I think I'm going with the McLaren.
Okay.
I think they've just been stronger. There's something about George. George is the one that's throwing me off. I know he had the win, but...
Yeah, and then he had a bad finish, which may not have been his fault. I got a good feeling about Piastri this week. I think he's going to be good. I like him. Are you thinking Lando have a shot of winning?
Yeah, I do. I actually have Lando wins and then Lewis in second. I don't know why I think that. I'm feeling crazy. F1's got me revitalized.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Based on that, you have Lando and Lewis on the podium. Is it going to be Max up there too, or are we going to get what I was going to ask you? Who do you feel more confident about a double podium finish, McLaren at 2-1 or Mercedes at 3-1? I know it's tough because you got to pick between Piastri and Russell to beat out Verstappen.
It's going to sound crazy. It's going to go against what I just said, but probably Mercedes.
Mercedes? Okay.
Yeah.
I'd lean that way a little bit too. Although I do think Piastri could be a contender here for a podium finish. I think he's got a really good shot. And then how about these numbers? Red Bull, 11-1 for double podium. Months ago, you could barely get plus money on those. And then Ferrari's 20-1.
I know.
So not a lot of confidence in the Ferrari garage right now. Let me ask you about another team-related proposition for the weekend. What do you think about Aston Martin as a double top 10 finisher this week? Do you think that's possible? They did that last year.
I do. I definitely do think it's possible.
What other teams, the smaller teams, are you looking at that may be able to contend a little bit this week?
I would say maybe the Alpines.
Okay.
I think the other teams, Matt, absolutely fucking suck.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're
you know, like, honestly, like, right. I think Haas is going to be all right. Those two teams, but everybody else, like, Man, the other teams, they just have either one good driver or just nothing.
Well, it's funny you say that because I wrote down these too. So they're putting these in because there's really no way to involve, you know, Haas and the Racing Bulls and Williams and Sauber into your wagering. Like you're just fading them and their price is ridiculous. So they've been putting in these winner without markets. So you take out Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari, and even Aston Martin, who's clearly above the rest of them. And then you got Haas at even money. The Racing Bulls at plus 260, Alpine at 3-1, Williams at 6-1, and Sauber at 25-1 for the next highest finisher. I mean, would you go with Haas? Do you think Williams? Maybe. I don't. Alpine's probably your safest play.
Alpine is probably your safest bet. But Matt, they are also like, they'll fucking throw one under the bus for you, and they will DNF so quickly. Like,
yeah. Well, look at last year. Look at last year here. They finished literally the last two spots. Ocon was 19th.
That's the hardest question you've ever asked me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I just thought it was an incredible thing to ponder because even when you're taking out Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren, Ferrari, and Aston Martin, it's still impossible to figure out which team has a guy that is capable. Because what it's going to take, basically, is a guy to finish in 11th or 12th place, probably. That's probably what it is. And last year, if you would have done this, it would have been Alex Albon would have cashed for Williams last year at this race. So anything is possible, but I'm with you. I'm thinking maybe the Alpines are your best option here, but Haas, like even money to me, is a little bit interesting because that seems a little bit overpriced. I don't really understand that. They didn't impress a whole lot last year, and they really aren't that impressive this year. But who am I to argue with the odds makers? But all right, anybody else under the radar? Any other bets that you like? You going to go with Alex Albon again this week? What do you
have to? Thinking? He's my go-to. Okay. He's like my Alex Pierce anytime touchdown.
Oh, I like that.
Which we will be going back to a lot upcoming.
Okay, just a few weeks away from that excitement. But Alex Albon, if he's able to duplicate what he did last year, he may cash that bet for the Williams to be the top finisher without the top six or top five teams. So
could you imagine watching a field like that race, Matt? That would be incredible.
Yeah,
it would be incredible.
Yeah, your winning position is really 11th, not first.
Dude, that would be so awesome.
But it gives you something if you want to get involved with these teams. It is quite difficult. Think Logan Sargeant, whoever. Run good. I mean, I'm not sure this guy's qualified to run in any racing circuit.
No, he's not sniffing anywhere past 15th.
It's bad stuff. But all right, so you're going with Lando to win it.
Yep.
And you said Lewis in second. Correct. Any other bets? Anything else?
I'm going to go, honestly, give me the Alpines in the top 10. Give it to me.
Alpines, double top 10s. I like it. All right. All right. Let's shift over to stock cars, where we had more bad racing luck for us last week.
Sure did.
I mean, I always like Ryan Blaney, so I got no issue with him winning. But, man, he puts on a good show, gets the job done, and once again, we're on the wrong side of it. At least we got the job done in IndyCar because it was another tough one. Denny Hamlin finished second. Alex Bowman beating around the bush. I had William Byron. Couldn't get up there. Reddick was right there. I mean, at different times of this race, I've said this several times this year, is just I felt like a one car was going to be good. Ty Gibbs with disaster again. As soon as we pick him, of course, he has problems. You had guys with suspension problems, engine failures, crashes. You had everything. Kyle Busch crashes again. Shocker. Todd Gilliland had an issue. He had been very, very consistent on a really good run. What were your overall thoughts last week from Long Pond and Pocono?
You know, it did not go in our favor, Matt. Something about that race, you know, it's good to watch, good on TV, but like my boss says, that shit in person, and it was just a shit one. It was just a shit one for us. I said, so many different things happened. I thought Gibbs was going to be strong like the whole race.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as he fell off, it was done.
Yep. And then he has uncharacteristically bad luck and things that don't usually happen to a guy that quality. The Hendrick cars run solid again, though. I mean, even though they didn't win, they had, I think all four of their guys were in the, in the top top 13. So giving them some momentum. Ironically, when you look through the NASCAR data from over the years, a lot of people will make the comparison that the Brickyard, which we returned to for the first time since 2020 for the actual Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they will compare a lot of the track to Pocono and Michigan. So maybe some of the guys who had good cars and bad luck last week can translate into that this week. Now, Pocono also has been declared kind of a semi-road course as well, because you got a lot of shifting and different trajectories. That one turn, it's all that one deadly crazy turn is just like incredible. It's like a catapult, and then the rest of it's kind of flat. So definitely unique. And then we go to another unique one, and I'm glad they're back on this big speedway. I like this track. I always kind of did, especially with these new cars. I'm really curious to see how this is going to translate. It should translate into great racing, because one of the complaints from the Brickyard all those years ago, back in the early 90s when I think Jeff Gordon won the first one, was there wasn't enough passing. But I think you're going to see some passing now, and I'm excited about this this race. What say you?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's just, it's at a historic venue. I think anytime you're doing something at a historic venue, except the clash at the Coliseum, that is not
right.
That is not, does not count for this.
Yeah,
I think it's great.
Historic for racing.
Yeah, Jesus. I think it's awesome. And honestly, I can't wait for it. I cannot wait.
Should be a good one. All right, so let's get down to it. Betting favorites, Denny Hamlin. He has five top fives here at the Speedway. Hasn't won yet. You know, he's knocking on the door, and we keep saying he's had a run of luck lately that's unlike Denny Hamlin. Although he did run well last week, he didn't get the win. So he's definitely pushing hard for a victory. It would not surprise me if he made it to victory lane, but I can't bet him at 3-1. It's just not going to happen for me. Ryan Blaney, 750. That's not bad. He's coming off a win. Tough to win back-to-back. Probably pass on him. Kyle Larson, 6-1. Too low of a price for him as well. So I went a little bit further up the board, and my top pick this week is going to be Joey Logano, 15-1. What do you think about him? And then give me your top selection for the Brickyard.
Matt, I'm a huge fan of your selection. I was debating him the whole time. He's been stronger these past couple races. He's been looking like Joey Logano. I think that that's a very good sign, not only for him, but for the Fords. The Fords have had a tough year,
And Blaney with a win last week, momentum going for them. Yeah.
So that they're looking good. And I actually went a little farther down the board like you did. I went to Ross Chastain.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I looked at him, too. I'm very curious about what he'll do with this track. He's like a wild card to me. He could be really, really good here. I like that pick a lot. That's a good one.
I was debating between him, Keselowski, and my real sleeper was Michael McDowell.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's where, I mean, he's a monster price. And I looked at Keselowski too. He's had really strong performances here. He's won here. He's only 8-1. So I was a little bit dubious. Like, it's just a little too low for me, but I think Brad will run really well here. Wouldn't surprise me if Buescher ran well. My second pick, like my 1A, 1B, Chris Bell, 12-1, drifted up a little bit. That's the price. He hasn't been 12-1 in a while. He's usually lower than that. I like the way he races on a track that could set up well for him, I think. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. And I would say if my 1B is essentially the same thing, it's Tyler Reddick. I think Reddick's been strong all year. He has solidified his skill to me these past two seasons of just, he is very.
Yeah, he's what I would say is a championship contender now. Like, I'll be curious to see how he handles the playoffs and things like that. I would consider him definitely in the mix. I think him, Chris Bell, you got some different guys now that are definitely championship contenders. Reddick, more consistent than Bell, week in, week out, in my opinion. He's the safer of the two for sure. While Bell may win more, Bell also DNFs more. So.
Yeah, I agree, but it seems like when Bell has the weekend that you're looking for, he dominates. It's clear cut. As soon as Bell's, you can tell he has the best car. It's over.
Yeah, and it reminds me, he does kind of remind you of, not really in driving style or anything, but when you say that, is like kind of like what Kevin Harvick would do sometimes. If he's just the very best guy and he's just like, you're not getting past him. And Kyle Larson does it time to time. If he has his car dialed in, he's unbeatable, no question. And the interesting thing about this race is we don't know what a lot of these guys are going to do. The only guy who in the top five from the last time they raced here that's still racing in the Cup circuit is Brad Keselowski. Kyle Busch did finish sixth. Michael McDowell, as you said, was 7. Tyler Reddick got some time here, but these are different cars. We'll see. He was 8. But Kevin Harvick, Matt Kenseth, and Eric Almirola were your top 3.
I know. How awesome was that?
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
So, but some of these guys did get a little taste of it. You even had Clint Bowyer in the race back then, and Kurt Busch and Ty Dillon with decent finishes.
Hey, what did you think of Bubba's number?
You know, here's the thing about him. I don't know. I don't understand how they price him. To me, they price him too low based on they think the people will bet him just because he's him. Like, he has his own segment of followers. But, like, to me, I don't love his price. Like, to me, he should be, like, 45-1. Like, I can't. If you're going to ask me if I'd rather have Ross Chastain or Bubba Wallace, Ross is 35-1 and Bubba's 30, I'm taking Ross every single time. So,
yeah.
To me, oddsmakers don't do him any favors, and I don't – guys like us aren't going to bet him at that price. I mean, if he was 50-1, I'd consider it. But, I got to pass at that point. But any other wild cards? What do you think of Harrison Burton?
Oh, man. He's good riddance. You tried. You really did. You've tried for long enough. You can't get them their 100th win. Your last name helps too, by the way.
Yeah, I'll say. But anybody else? I don't even know who you would look at. Daniel Suarez.
I was gonna say
22.
maybe Suarez. You know what? I see Josevar down there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna throw him in the top 10 because he has been consistent all year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he's been good. There's some guys. I would say this rookie crop, while it might not be very flashy, I think that they have some quality drivers here. I think Zane Smith's pretty decent. Josh Berry's obviously very good. So I mean, these guys aren't getting the attention that, you know, Gibbs and Gregson got last. What about Gregson last week? Thanks. But they're not getting the attention those guys got last year. But this rookie class is quietly been pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And you brought up Gregson. And for some reason, I think of, like, just that team with this track. How do you feel about the Stewart Haas? This is their last little race at the – I mean, I'm looking at Briscoe. Briscoe's numbers is stupid.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's – I mean, what's – I mean, think about next year when he's in a different rod with a really good team, what Briscoe would be. I mean, he'll be like 1/8 of that number. It'll be
crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
And that just shows you how much the equipment does play a role. But these cars make things a lot more even. So it really is. It's amazing how but certain teams, though, just can't dial it in. And Briscoe's had that problem the entire – really the last 2 years. But he's on to greener pastures. What other one did you – what did you send me yesterday? There was another driver change.
Let's see.
Who was it? Somebody's going down to Xfinity now. Was it?
Let's see here. It says Cole Custer will move back to Cup in 2025.
Right, that's what
Ryan
it was, yeah.
Preece to Xfinity, and it said Haley Deegan will stay in Xfinity but move to the 98.
So that's interesting. I kind of think Ryan Preece kind of got a bad deal in that. I think he's all right. I think he's a decent race car driver, and certain tracks fit him very well. Maybe that he just doesn't have the consistency. But I think if he got in a little bit better on a better team, I think he would do a little better. But glad Haley Deegan would hang around in the stock car world. But yeah, somebody's got to be looking to capitalize on her. They got to get her. They got to figure out a way to make the team and the car set up for her liking. Because I mean, that's what it's all about. You gotta come to some common ground here. And obviously, it didn't work out with the last one. Went sour fast. But, any other observations, thoughts on the Brickyard?
I'm just excited to see him race there again. You know, they talk about going to these tracks all the time, but I'm glad that they finally put it on the schedule, and now they need to get rid of Phoenix, and they never will.
Yeah, no, you have to end the season there. And
garbage.
Oh, God, yeah, that is a pretty boring track, that is for sure. All right, well, we covered the baseball. We covered the racing. Anything else on your radar for the week? Will you watch any of the Open Championship golf at all? Me and you are up at the fucking crack of dawn every day. So.
Yeah, I'll most likely watch it.
Yeah. Got to have it on, see if the wind's blowing over there in Scotland and guys are hitting it in those pot bunkers. And yeah, that can be kind of interesting. So, all right. Well, Sam, thanks as always. Enjoy your birthday weekend, buddy. Happy birthday.
I will. Hey, you know what? I have one prediction, which I've been thinking about this for maybe 3 days, and I'm not sure. I think I'm going to solidify it right now. I do not think that Team USA is going to win the gold in the Olympics in basketball.
I tend to think you're right. And I thought a question that I talked about, or what we actually didn't get to talk about it yesterday on the radio because we came up with some other stuff. But I was wondering if France is worth a play, maybe. I think they could be dangerous. I got Wemby. I mean, he's going to be the rim protector. And, I mean, Serbia hung around a little bit today in an exhibition. So, I think you might be on to something there. I think France is dangerous.
I do, too. Just ponder on it on the weekend.
I like it. All right. Sounds good. Sam, have a great one. We will see you next week. Happy birthday to you, brother.
I will. Thank you. I appreciate it. And let's go Bucks, baby.
All right. Let's go Bucks. All right, that's Sam the Man, Upper St. Clair. Thanks to him for all his contributions to the show, as always. That'll do it for us today. Hope you have a wonderful and safe weekend. Get on out there. Get over to the Brownie House, first of all, and order some brownies. Yesbrownies.com, 20% off your order. Promo code PINEROOM at the checkout. Check us out on the Watchdog Radio Network, watchdognetwork.com. You can listen to our show, our radio show, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday every single week. We got Football Fridays coming up. We're going to have Duggar's Saucy Spread Challenge. It seems like we just ended that. That's all right around the corner. We're 6 weeks away from the Abbey's Football League starting up. We're less than 20 days away from the NFL preseason starting. Yikes. It's just coming too fast. But anyway, we don't have a choice. There's nothing we can do about it. We'll just get ready and try to get you some winners. So until next week, we'll see you from the Pine Room Studios. That'll do it for us on Bettors Last Stand Show 92. Have a good one and best of luck with your wagering.